Good morning. It's the 19th of July. Our New Testament reading today is Matthew chapter 20. I'm reading once again from Brother Melva Purkis. I read. Jesus turned from the mountains of Judea towards Jerusalem. Apart from a few nights in adjacent Bethany, he would not leave the city again. The disciples watched him as he took the road towards the south. There was a kingly majesty in his bearing that checked their impulse to go beside him. They let him walk on ahead. A purposefulness about him amazed and frightened them. They dare not speak, walking steadily behind the silent figure, sometimes losing sight of him on a bend in the road or over a shoulder of rock. They left him to his thoughts. But they found him waiting for them in some quiet place, sheltered from the burning sun, and when they were settled and refreshed, he opened his heart to them, unfolding the complete picture of the events that were to transpire within a week in Jerusalem. When he had first spoken to them of these things, he had told them only that he must suffer many things and be killed, and rise again the third day. On the next occasion, he had added the terrible truth of his betrayal. But now he revealed the whole picture. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. The disciples listened, but did not understand. Confused between their conception of the Messiah and this awful picture of suffering and death, they could not find a perspective. The changed trend in the teaching of Jesus and the growing atmosphere of impending crisis had had its effect upon them. In spite of all that he was telling them, they persisted in entertaining hopes of immediate glory. But surely the beloved John would understand. No, not even John. The journey continued in silence. They met, possibly by arrangement, a company of pilgrims from Galilee. There was a happy reunion as James and John saw their mother again. News of the resurrection of Lazarus and the nearness of the Passover had apparently persuaded Salome that the time for the manifestation of the Messiah was imminent. It seems possible that, like Mary, she had lost her husband, Zebedee, and with the unselfishness of a true mother, all that she now desired was the best that her master could give for her sons. Her interest did not displease James and John. Their growing intimacy with Jesus during the past months had its less pleasing side. It had been revealed by their high-handed rebuke of the one who cast out devils in their master's name, and their imperious request that they should be allowed to call fire down from heaven upon the inhospitable Samaritans. Now the mother and her two sons thought to settle for all time the vexed question of who should be the greatest in the coming kingdom. Jesus had spoken only a few hours before of the Son of Man sitting on the throne of his glory and of the exaltation of the apostles to 12 thrones, but this was not enough to satisfy them. No time could have been less opportune for this request. James and John had watched Jesus earlier in the day with fear in their hearts as he started towards Jerusalem. They had listened as he spoke of his impending sufferings. Even if they could not understand the significance of what he said, they should surely have seen the preoccupation of their Lord and been full of solicitude towards him as they pondered his words. Yet the petition, for all its pride, was wanting in neither faith nor loyalty. They had asked to share his glory. Did they realise that the glory lay in sacrifice? Do we have that realization too? Thank you for listening.